All right. I believe this is where we left off. We're going through the book of Colossians and kind of going over the introduction. And one thing I did want to mention before I get any further is the seven churches that Paul wrote to. I missed one on the list there, so you can fill that out if you'd like to. The one I missed was Philippi. He wrote the book of Philippians to the church of Philippi. And so you can add that one on there. Brother Jeff caught that a couple weeks ago, and so you can add that on your paper there, so the Church of Philippi. All right, I'm not going to go back over this like I did before. It took up too much time doing that, but you can go back and listen to these. I believe they're every one so far is recorded and online, and so you can go back and look those up, and if you need help filling out any of the answers, you can. But Paul's dealing with some problems there in Colossae, and there was a lot of Jews there. There was a lot of tradition. There was a lot of science, falsely so-called, philosophy. He's dealing with those different things. And so these are some of the similar things, as I mentioned last week, that we deal with today. There's some problems that are rising for Christians. We know all over the country, we know the difficulties that are going on with some of our missionaries right now in some of these countries that are locked down, and they're just giving the churches a really hard time. But then there's other countries that are not so locked down. They have religious liberties, for the most part, that are starting to have problems. In Canada, I just read an article today of a man that was arrested in Canada, and he's being booked to go into prison. He's got to go through all this stuff because he will not call his child by the pronoun his child wants to be called by. I believe he has a son that wants to be a girl. And the dad said, no, we're not doing that. Well, now that man's been arrested. He's been put in jail. And they're going to charge him for hate crime because his own son wants to be called by a pronoun that he's not going to call his son that. And this is in Canada. And then over in the UK, where there's supposed to still be some religious liberties, there was a man out street preaching. And he's being attacked and threatened with lawsuits and things like that because they said that there's portions of the Bible that is considered hate speech. And so no longer are there certain portions of the Bible that can be read aloud in public. And that's over there, but it's coming here. And out in California, there's other places that are already dealing with similar things, and it's going to get worse and worse and worse. And the Bible told us it would wax worse and worse. So Paul's dealing with some of these things in Colossae that I think will be an encouragement to help us as a church to stay faithful to God and stay faithful to what's right. And so that was kind of a little bit of the warnings that Paul is dealing with that we'll deal with later on in the book of Colossians. The background for the book of Colossians, I'll try to make this as big as I can on the screen. I know some folks had a problem reading it before, and if I need to go slower, I will. Paul was not the founder of this church. There were some churches that he did help establish and founded, but Paul was not the founder of this church. There was some churches, again, that he wrote to that, you know, he's not the one that established those churches. And this is one of those. So Paul was not the founder of this church at Colossae. Scriptures indicate to us that a man by the name of Epaphras was the founding pastor of this church. And let's go look at those scriptures there. Colossians chapter 1, verse 7 through 8. Epaphras is mentioned several times in scriptures, and we'll look at him even more so as we go through the book of Colossians. But for the introduction here, it appears that he is the founder of that church. He's the one that established the church there at Colossae. And again, this church was tied in closely with the church of Laodicea. When the letter that Paul wrote to this church at Colossae was supposed to be read in Laodicea also. The Colossians chapter 1, verse 7 through 8, as ye also learned of Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is for you a faithful minister of Christ. And so there's signs that point to the fact that he may have been the pastor of this church and maybe even the founder of this church, who also declared unto us your love in the Spirit. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding. And so there's some signs that point to the fact that Epaphras may have been the founder of this church in Colossae, and it was not Paul the Apostle. All right, there is indication that the Colossians church had never seen Paul. They've never met Paul before. And as we read some of the other epistles that Paul wrote, we see that that might be the case in a few other churches as well. But Colossians 1:4 says, "Since we heard of your faith in Christ and of the love which ye have to all saints," Colossians chapter 2, verse 1, "For I would that ye knew what great conflict I have for you, for them at Laodicea, and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh." And so there's indication that this church had never met Paul. I'm sure they'd heard of him. Of course, Epaphras had given him an update on the church, and now Paul's writing to them. So, but they had never seen Paul. Paul missed Colossae, this region that we looked at. If you want to go back and look at your map later on, Paul missed this place, Colossae, on both of his missionary trips. We can look at the scriptures on that. Acts chapter 16, verse 6. Acts chapter 16, verse 6. So when Paul was making his rounds, there was a few churches that he didn't get to make it by those churches. Paul was a missionary. We know that. And I've had some missionaries that I read in a prayer letter, and they stated all the places they were when they were in the States for 3 or 4 months. And I'd write them back and said, "Hey, you missed us. We would have liked to have seen you. We would have liked to have gotten an update." And they replied back and said, "Sorry, short time. We had to go to some new churches, you know, to try to get more support. Thank you guys for being faithful, supporting us." And so imagine when I read this, these things about these churches that never saw Paul, but yet he wrote to them. It's a similar situation with some of these missionaries, and they can't get to every church and every supporting church. And Acts chapter 16 and verse number 6, the Bible says, "Now when they had gone throughout Phrygia," and remember, this was the region that the church of Colossae was in. And we studied that earlier on in the introduction. "And the region of Galatia, and were forbidden of the Holy Spirit to preach the word in Asia." So he went through this area, but he did not make it to this church, because they had not seen his face, and that's what the Bible indicates to us. In Acts chapter 19, verse 1, it says, "And it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus, and finding certain disciples." And if you go back and look at the map where Ephesus was versus where Colossae was, he wasn't too far off, but it appears that he did not get to go by this church up to the point where he's writing to this church. All right? And Paul sent Epaphras to preach to them. We see that we've already read that in chapter 1, verse 7. So Paul instructed Epaphras, who more than likely was the founding pastor there, but he gave him the doctrine and the instructions of what to preach, since Paul himself could not go. All right, the church, the Colossians church, was mainly Gentile, even though they were in an area that was heavy populated with Jews. It was mainly a Gentile church. We see that in Colossians 1. Verse number 27. I'm not in any kind of rush to get through some of this. I also don't want to bore anybody, but I'd like to look at these verses to back up the statements. All right, Colossians chapter 1, verse number 27. As we go through here too, there'll be some Wednesday nights that I'm going to kind of step aside from teaching through there and actually look at some spiritual application that can be applied to us. I'm still going to try to have a handout for you to fill in while I'm doing more of preaching, but we want to look at some spiritual application on this stuff, too, to help us. Colossians 1:27, "To whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory." Talking about the Gentiles there, the mystery among the Gentiles. All right, the theme of the book of Colossians. The theme of the book of the Colossians is Christ, the head of the universal church. Christ, the head of the universal church. And we see him as preeminent all through Paul's writings, and specifically speaking the book of Colossians. This is going to be the theme for the book. All right? The key word found in the book of Colossians is the word all. It's mentioned 32 times in the book of Colossians, the word all. The key verse in the book of Colossians, let's look at it together, Colossians 1:18. And this goes along with our theme of Christ being the head. Colossians 1:18, and he is the head. Got to fill it out with you. He is the head of the body, the church. Who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. All right, and that's who Jesus Christ ought to be in our life. He ought to have the preeminence. And it's our responsibility as a church to portray Christ as having the preeminence. It ought to be all about him. I know at Christmas time and Thanksgiving, different holidays, as Christians, we try to emphasize, hey, it's about Christ, it's not about anything else. But it ought to be that way all the time in the life of a child of God. It ought to be that Christ has the preeminence. And Paul wanted to make that clear to this church through the struggles they went through, through the hardships, through the false doctrine, through the trials. He wanted them to know that Christ has the preeminence and that he is the head of the church. And it's good to know that he's in charge. When we're going through the things that we're going through in this life and the government and the medical things, we know that the little g god of this world is just wreaking havoc. But the little g god of the world is not my God. My God is the creator of the heaven and earth. And Jesus Christ is my Savior. And I know that he knows what's going on. And he's who is really in control of my life. And so that's an encouraging thing. That's an encouraging thing that Paul's telling this church. All right, some statistics about this book. And it looks like we may be able to just barely get started here in the book of Colossians here in just a second. But some statistics for the book of Colossians. It has four chapters. And again, these things that I'm giving you, I don't want them to bore you, but this is also a part of a Bible Institute course. And so if you keep up with this stuff and you want to take the tests, which they won't be too difficult, you can get credit towards the Bible Institute. So that's why a lot of this information is in here. And it's good for you to study your Bible and to know your Bible. All right, verses. There's 95 verses. 1,989 words, and that's including the words at the very end, which I believe are part of Scripture, and the salutation. And no, I did not count them all. I'm taking somebody's word on that. If you want to check that out, let me know by next week if that's right. All right, it's the 51st book of the Bible. I've always been interested in numbers in the Bible, so I enjoy looking at things like this. It's the 12th book of the New Testament. I'm going too fast, let me know. So just recap, four chapters, 95 words, 1,989 words, 95 verses, 51st book of the Bible. 12th book of the New Testament. Colossians contains 22 words. Just some nuggets that are interesting. 22 words that appear only one time in the Bible. So a word that's considered an only mention word. So the book of Colossians contains 22 words that only appear one time in the King James Bible. I thought that was interesting looking at that. I'm working on, and I'll let the church know more about it as we get closer to January, but for our Bible reading schedule next year, I'm going to make a little booklet And we're going to do all of the answers to the questions for Bible reading next year are going to be words that are either the only time it's found in the King James Bible or the first time it's mentioned in the Bible. And so when you answer it, that'll most of them, that's the only time that word shows up in the Bible. And so as we're doing our Bible reading, we'll actually be learning some things too. It's just neat to know, and it makes for some interesting study as well when you find out that certain words are only mentioned one time in the whole Bible. Some of them you're like, man, it seems like it's all through the Bible, but that spelling and the way it's laid out, that's the only time it's mentioned. And so the answers to the Bible reading questions are going to be words that are only mentioned one time, or that's the first time it's mentioned. And so I'm working on that, and there's other churches that are interested in that booklet also, but I'm hoping to, Lord willing, have that done in the next couple weeks. All right, Colossians is similar to the book of Ephesians. There's a lot of similarity between those two books. They're not, the actual locations of Ephesus and Colossae are not real far off, as you can see on the map, but Colossians is similar to Ephesians. 78 of 95 verses bear a resemblance to one another. And that's a lot of similarities for two books. The emphasis of Ephesians is the body of Christ. The emphasis of Colossians is Christ, the head of the body. And so these books work real well together. And we get a lot of doctrine, our salvation doctrine, out of these two books. There's a whole lot in there that is a part of our salvation doctrine. All right, just a brief outline of the four chapters here. The first one is Christ preeminence declared in chapter 1. Christ preeminence declared. Christ preeminence defended. I meant to ask before I started, does anybody not have the handouts to fill in the blanks? I got extras up here. I know it's a little late to be asking that, but I have extras up here if anybody needs them. All right. So the doctrine, Christ preeminence declared, the danger, Christ preeminence defended, the duty, Christ preeminence demonstrated. And all this goes along with the theme of what Paul is dealing with in the book of Colossians. All right. Has everybody gone through and filled out the chapter 1 questions for reading through chapter 1? We've had like 3 or 4 weeks to do it, so did everybody do that? Do what? It's the one that has chapter 1 and then you fill out the answers. It was the homework from 3 weeks ago? Okay. All right. Well, you guys can work on that this next week and then we'll go over it. Everybody does have that handout though, right? Okay, does anybody need it? All right. You don't have that one? Are you sure? I think it's in there. Okay, this is the next set of handouts. All right, so they're separated. Go on that side. Tried to show you. Hold on. Do you really not have it in there? What's going on over here? One, two pages. He's probably going to run out.
Go back there. What?
He's just going to give them all to her. Did I number them? I guess I did. All right, we good? Did y'all get your copies? You got one paper left or two? Okay, good. Thank y'all for helping. Here, let me have you. All right, we're just going to get started on this part. I'm not going to make it too far because I got a devotional thought that I want to look at probably next Wednesday out of this first chapter. So, all right, you're not going to have to quote these verses to me. They may or may not show up on the test. I don't remember, but these are just verses to try to memorize for the first chapter. So I just encourage you to do that, even if they're not going to be on there. It's always good to try to memorize Scripture. And you may say, well, I'm not able to memorize things very well. Try memorizing a Bible verse and see if the Lord won't help you. Amen? And it's a good thing to try to do anyway, all right? So here's two verses that are memory that I just encourage you to do on your own. And you're not going to have to quote them out here or anything, but just between you and the Lord, try to memorize these verses. All right, the first one, Colossians 1:20, and having made peace. Having made peace through the blood of his cross. And if you notice on these handouts, I did a little bit different. I gave the dashes for how many letters go on there. So maybe that'll be a help. I don't know. Do what? Did I not put the right number of dashes? That's very possible. Make a note on it so I can fix it for the next time I teach it. All right. By him to reconcile all things unto himself. All right. By him I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. And then the second one's Colossians 1:25, wherefore I am made a minister. And we'll kind of touch on this a little bit as we go through here, but this is a responsibility we have, is to minister these things to others, to the world, to our family, according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God. All right. Were some of them messed up on your paper? Okay. There are some messed up later, but I made a note on my thing. This is messed up to tell you. All right. And so these are two, I think, key verses. It's not the key verse for the entire book, like we read earlier, but just two you can memorize for this chapter that are good things to memorize. All right. So Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, this is how this thing starts off. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, Timotheus, our brother, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ, which are at Colossae. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. And so we find that Paul mentions another individual here in his greeting to the church at Colossae. He said, Paul, an apostle, and Timotheus, our brother. Timothy was Paul's first convert, was one of Paul's first converts. And he plays a big role in the letters that Paul writes, and also Paul writes some letters to him, to Timothy, that play a big part in churches today, in our church. All right, so he was one of Paul's first converts. And Paul first met him right before the Philippian church was established. This is when they met. And we find out later on that Paul refers to him as his son in Christ. And that'll come up later on. And so this man, Timothy, has a big impact on these letters that Paul's sending out to these churches. He's a very close companion, a brother of Paul, and also a son in the faith that we're going to look at a little bit later on. He says here, praying always for you. And I just put the note here that we ought always to pray for those that we lead to the Lord. One area that I think the churches struggle in today, and some of the churches I've even been in, is discipling people that get saved, praying for them and working with them. Paul did a wonderful job in working with the people that he led to the Lord. He didn't just lead them to the Lord and let them go on their way. And we've known some great men and missionaries and things that have done the same thing. When they led somebody to the Lord, they discipled them. And Paul did that with Timothy. And so when we lead somebody to the Lord, I believe that person ought to be somebody on our prayer list until the day we die. I mean, we ought to pray for that person. And if I was to ask you tonight, and I'm not going to, don't raise your hand, but if I was to ask you the names of people you led to the Lord, and I don't know that we have people in here that have won thousands or, you know, 100,000 people to the Lord. I don't know to keep up with that many. I certainly have not led that many people to the Lord. I'm ashamed for the amount that I have. I wish it would be more. Could we name them? Could we have a list? I have a soul-winning Bible, and I try to, anytime I lead somebody to the Lord, put their name in that Bible. And I don't pray for them like I should, but that's something we ought to do. And Paul did that. He prayed for the converts. He prayed for the church at Colossae. We find out throughout his writings, and here especially in Colossae, that he fervently prayed for these churches. And that this is a whole other message and a thought that we're going to look at later on, in this idea of praying that Paul looked at, or that he mentioned. But we ought to pray for those that we lead to the Lord and disciple them. Paul had been praying for these people at Colossae. It is also good and encouraging that they know that they were being prayed for. It's an encouragement when you tell somebody, I'm praying for you. It's an even bigger encouragement when you mean it. When you say, I'm praying for you. I've had a lot of folks tell me they're praying for me before, and I hope they are, but you just wonder sometimes, amen? And we ought to pray one for another. If somebody asks you to pray for something, we pray. Wednesday nights, I think, is important for a local church to spend time in prayer. When somebody adds something to the list, they're counting on us to go to God on their behalf and to pray for them. And Paul was praying always for the church here at Colossae. All right, I'm gonna stop here. I know we have a few more minutes to what we normally would go to on a Wednesday night, but I'm gonna stop here because I'm gonna take a side note in the study on Colossians and look at a spiritual application where Paul deals with the power and authority of his apostleship. And so, Lord willing, next Wednesday we'll start looking at that. All right, let's all stand. We'll pray, and I encourage you to do the Colossians chapter number 1. Read over it. If you get the opportunity, along with your Bible reading, read Colossians chapter 1 or the whole book even throughout the week this week in preparation for next week. All right, let's pray. Lord, thank you for loving us. We thank you for being a great